Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Trust and pray, everybody's well. Hey, give somebody a wave and a smile, a real smile. One of those that says, I'm glad to be awake and alive, and the coffee and the caffeine has kicked in, and all is most right with the world, because today is a day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to spend some time worshiping Him and around His Word. If you're part of our online audience, as always, good morning to you as well. Be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. I always like to mention that because I really appreciate what he does. He's your voice with Central Baptist Church for our online audience. If you have any questions, you can certainly ask Dr. John. He'll either answer you or he'll get the answer for you. I can promise you that. But we welcome you as well. We're so glad to have this opportunity today to be able to be in the Lord's house and just to gather with God's people. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here shortly as well. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we are grateful and thankful that, Lord, in every circumstance and every situation, you have gone before us. Lord, I know that today there are probably those who have entered your house today that have heavy burdens. Father, there are those who are probably wondering what's going to happen with certain circumstances or situations. But as we mentioned a moment ago, Lord, you're already there. You've gone before us, and you have a plan for each and every aspect of our life, each and every situation of our life. So I pray, Father, that you would help us to learn to lean on you, realizing that you know what's best and what's right for your children. And then, Lord, today as we come together, I pray that you will give us the freedom to take a breath and to relax and just to enjoy being in your presence and Lord, being tuned into the Holy Spirit, that we might hear what the Spirit would say to each and every one of us as we take these moments together to gather as like-minded believers to worship you. So, Father, this is your time, and we ask that you would speak to us, help us, to make sure that we're not doing anything that would hinder us from hearing what the Spirit would say to us today. And Lord, as your word has so often said, give us ears to hear what the Spirit will say this very day that is personal to each and every one of us, that is applicable to each and every one of us right where we are at this moment in time. So Father, bless our time as only you can, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn with me to 484 Higher Ground. Please stand with me as we sing. Thank you.
Thank you.
please turn to 206, Blessed Be the Name. Today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of chance this weekend to have an opportunity to go see my mom as well as some of my friends that I grew up with 40 years ago because I had my 40th year high school reunion. Yeah, That's always fun. I am. You look around, and some coming in with canes and that sort of thing. It's not like it used to be, that's for sure. But we did have that opportunity to spend a little time with my mom as well, take care of some things for her. And hey, Mom, I know she'll be watching later. She's in church right now, but a little bit later she will tune in and watch what's going on because you know how moms are. She's part of us as well, but she's a replay part of Central Baptist Church. But last week one of the things that we were talking about was in the scripture it addressed that situation of why is it that I do the things that I shouldn't do and I don't do the things that I should. And every one of us have been there in our Christian lives. We all have some area that we struggle in. Now, we might look around and you may see those people in your life that you look at and you say, man, I tell you one thing, I wish I had a spiritual walk like them. If you had that opportunity to sit down and pick their brain, one of the things that you would also find out is that there are areas in life that they struggle as well. Now, if you're like most people, there's at least something along life's path that has caused you along the way to get frustrated with and sit back and say, why is it that I do these things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, and yet the things that I should do, I don't? And we discussed that last week. That was addressed in the scriptures in Romans chapter 7. But I also want us to take a look at what often happens as the attitude when we fail in those areas, because we all fail in those areas. So, you know, what happens is after we get frustrated with ourselves, what do we generally say? Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you the scripture, and then we're going to kind of ease on into it. I only want to deal with about three of them today. I've realized that if I take
less scripture on Sunday morning, that means the sermon is less long. So it gives time for it to sink in as well. So there you go. Keep me on target. So we're going to look at our scripture in Romans chapter 6. And we're just going to take those first three verses. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Okay, let's pray together. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we pray right now that your spirit truly would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to us individually. Lord, you know where we are. You know what we struggle with. You've known it for since even before we did. But Lord, I pray that you will help us not to take advantage in a bad way of the grace that you provide to each and every one of us. So Lord, bless our time together. Use me as your speaker for these moments. And Lord, may you truly be lifted up as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at these particular scriptures, particularly that verse 1, and that's where I really want us to camp out for just a minute, but I want you to understand that the objective today is to understand the concept of dying to sin and being alive in Christ. You've often heard me sit back and say, you know, we don't want to go through the process. We don't want to check boxes. We don't want to just simply go through, as the New Testament calls it, a form of religion. You know, what difference does it make if we're not in touch with God, if we're not trying to spend that time getting to know him, if we're not trying to spend that time learning to walk with him, then you might as well just join a social club, because that's really all it is. You know, my question for you today is, how are you walking with the Lord? What is it that he's saying to you? Where do you see God moving in your life? One of the greatest things that people often will say is they say, "I really, really want to experience God." And I believe that Henry Blackaby, who was the author of the book Experiencing God, really nailed it down with a simple statement. He said, what you need to do is you need to find out where God's working, and you need to join him there. That's a real simple concept. You know, if you sit back and said, "I'd like to go to this ball game," well, you're never going to go unless you show up at the stadium. Yeah, so find out where is God working in your life? How many times have you seen God do some incredible things along the way? And do you give God the credit and the glory when you see that happen? I see that happen really, really often in my life. And it's really in particular with things that I never saw coming. You know, all of us have been in that situation where all this, something happens, a phone call, whatever it may be, and you realize you're in deep. You know, you realize there's something that you can't handle or what have you. And what do? We usually start getting into Tasmanian devil mode instead of stopping and saying, "The Lord's already been there. The Lord's already known this before you ever knew it, and the Lord's already got a plan for it. We need to look for his plan." Now, part of the problem is we don't often like God's plan, but God's plan is what's right and what's perfect for each and every one of us. But what is it like to truly die to your sin and to be alive in Christ? Now, when we look at these passages in Romans 6, you know, Paul wrote this letter to the believers in Rome, and he did so to teach them about God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the concept of this particular letter. And in the first five chapters, you know, of Romans, Paul explains that all the people, now this is interesting, all the people, both Jew and Greek. That was one of the things that Paul often got flack for, was like, why are you preaching the gospel to these Gentile people over here? Yeah, man, that's not for them. But he was letting them know that essentially, all people, both Jew and Greek, are under the power of sin and in need of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, that's a basic concept. A lot of you all would sit back and say, well, I've known that for a long time. I've known Jesus for most of my life, or, you know, from the time I was little, I was raised in church or whatever. But there is a difference between walking through the form of religion, as sometimes we can do today. That's me calling it being on autopilot. You know, when you showed up today, here's your litmus test. When you showed up today, are you here seeking to hear a word from God? That's a big question. Are you here today because that's where you go on Sunday morning? So my question is this: are you looking for what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to you today? Now, some people would sit back and say, well, what do you mean? You mean that the Lord's going to speak to me every time I come into the midst of His presence? Yes, that's exactly what I'm wanting to say to you today. That's why it should be a really exciting time when we gather together in the Lord's house. And by the way, it's not just for everybody else. I always love that. And of course, you guys know I'm getting ready to pick at you a little bit, because I always do. But you know, sometimes there'll be a point and you'll be nudging your spouse. You'll be working on those ribs, okay? And sometimes you're right, but the bottom line is very often the same message is what we need. We're really easy to look over the things that the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us personally, but let me make you a promise that before you leave this place today, the Holy Spirit is going to give you personally something to either work on, grow by, build with, or draw you closer to Him. The question is, will you leave with that? And people say, well, that's a pretty brazen statement, Pastor. How can you say that? Now, so let me tell you how I can say that. God's word does not return void ever. And where two or three are gathered together, there He is in the midst. And if you are going to give Him time today to accept His invitation to be in His house, He's got a word for you. By the way, that's why I think it's important to accept His invitation to be in His house with His people on a Sunday morning to be able to learn and grow in grace. That's another message for another day. I'm not going to get on that soapbox just yet, but I'm going to say this. We need each other. We are designed and we're to function with one another. We can't do it all. We all have different varied talents and abilities and testimonies and stories to be able to tell. We need each other. Now, here's something that's a pretty cool concept today as well. There is not one single person in this room today that is here by accident. I don't care who you are. God brought you here today because He's got a word for you, whether it's from me in this pulpit, whether it was through the choir and song, whether it's from your casual conversation that you've had with other people, or whether it may be through the sermon, whatever it may be. I can tell you this, God has got some plans and some messages for you today, if you'll just look for them. That's why I said that sometimes we have to be careful that we're not so busy serving that we're not worshiping. There's a difference between those two. You realize that you can get so busy serving that you can fail to worship? Now, don't everybody quit and have Dina come down on me in this thing from nominating. Oh, Dina's like, everybody quit. No. Yeah, we still need to see it. Service is part of what we do as well, but it can't override our worship. You know, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces on a Sunday morning. You probably see that even as we come together today. There's microphones, there's sound checks, there's the choir. And listen, they're doing that because they want to do with perfection what God's given them the talent and the ability to do, that they might be used as instruments in His hand for each and every one of us that gather to worship on a Sunday morning. And there's nothing wrong with that. So Paul's writing this letter to both, you know, to explain to all the people, there's that big word, and all means all, and that's all that all means, both Jew and Gentile that are under the power of sin, and they need salvation. And the same message is true to each and every one of us. You know, before Christ, we're under the power of sin, and we need salvation. Now, in chapter 6, Paul discusses the topic of sin and how believers are to live in freedom from sin. It's very, very interesting what sometimes people will say. And I want us to go back to that first verse, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, when you look at that and you have the Holy Spirit that is interpreting that to you, that sounds like, you know, who on the planet would sit back and think that it's a good idea to keep on sinning so that they could receive grace? Well, a bunch of people. Now, let me tell you what happened. Let me give you a modern day example of that. And then often what we will hear or what we'll say to ourselves or what I will hear often from somebody else. There may be an area that you struggle in. And what you find is that you fail in that area very often. So then what happens is, here's how Satan likes to work. Here's how Satan likes to twist the word. You sit back and say, you know what? I give up. I just can't do this. I can't be what God wants me to be in this area. And then often we will use a statement like, well, you know what? I know I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but thank God I'm not like I was. And then we will use a cliche and just let that just kind of roll off of our back. Or then it will get even worse when we sit back and we'll say, Satan will sit back, and this is what he'll tell you, and every one of us have been there in some way in our life. When you come up against that again, and you are getting ready to either sin or not sin, whatever that case may be, whatever it is that you may struggle with, and you know what Satan likes to tell you? Well, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead. And the reason why that it's okay for you to go ahead and do it is because God's grace is enormous. God's going to forgive you. You know that. How many of y'all believe that God forgives sin? And so Satan, you know, Satan says, go on and do it. Listen, what have you got to lose? It'll all be good. And as soon as you get done, you can just go, you know, ask God's forgiveness and he'll forgive you. You see, I think that evidently along the way in this passage to the people of the Romans, evidently that was part of their attitude. Their attitude is, I'll just live however I want to live because God will forgive me. I kind of like, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this. To me, it's a lot like Catholicism, you know, where it's like, okay, I can go out and sin all I want to sin, and I can fill up my little sin bucket, and then what I can do is I'll just go into confession, and I'll dump my little sin bucket out, and then I can go back out and start filling it back up again. Some do that willfully and on purpose. I call that taking advantage of the grace of God because that is not how God designed it, and we will only take advantage of God so often. God will put a stop to that. Does God forgive? But let me add one other thing in here. There is a difference between the definitions and the applications of forgiveness and repentance. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know what they are. Forgiveness, we understand, don't we? We understand what it means to be forgiven. But do we truly understand what repentance is all about? You see, repentance says, I have sinned against God. I know that. And you know that because particularly if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart not to sin before you do. Then he convicts your heart if you have sinned that you might repent, okay? That's a big church word, isn't it? Repentance. We've heard that a lot. But what does it mean? See, when I repent, that is when I come to the understanding that what I have done has hurt my Lord and Savior. What I have done is against what the Word of God says, and the Holy Spirit is convicting my heart of that. And here's the difference between simple forgiveness and repentance. Repentance says, I have sinned against God and I don't ever want to do it again. And that's the true meaning of your heart. You realize what you've done and you never ever want to do it again. And you see, what happens is a lot of people don't repent. They will go and ask God, oh, Lord, forgive me of that. I'm going to do it again tomorrow, but forgive me of that. And then I'm going to do it again the day after tomorrow, and Lord, forgive me of that. I call that taking advantage of the grace of God. And what does that verse say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Yeah, does that mean that because I love the grace of God that I need to go out and sin so that grace could be prevalent in my life? Doesn't that sound silly when you think about it? But you know, as silly as it may sound, there are people who live their life that way back then in the days of the Romans and today. Well, you know what? It's only one day. God will forgive me. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I've said, too, that too often people don't remember that there are consequences for our sins. You don't know what the consequence for your sin may be. How many times has it been, well, just one time that created a lifetime of remembering that one time in a bad way? So Paul, what he does when he's trying to get to this point, he's trying to relate it to the Romans, he asks a question. It's a rhetorical question, you know. And what is the question? It addresses the possibility of misunderstanding of grace. What's the danger of misconstruing grace as a license to sin? There's a huge danger in that. License to sin. I'm a believer. That means I have a license to sin. Absolutely not. That is not what this means. That is what Paul was trying to get across. That is what Pastor Roy is trying to get across today as well. And you know, the thing about it is, I may be preaching to the choir, but I may not be as well. Maybe that one area of your life that you have struggles with, you've just thrown your hands up and said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. What's the point in resisting it? What's the point in fighting it? I'll just ask God to forgive me, and he will, and I will move forward. See, folks, when that happens, there's a lack of repentance. I mean, by the way, you may want to try all you want to never, ever do that sin again, and you may find yourself there. Remember, that's what brings up the frustration point that we talked about last week. Why do I do the things that I shouldn't do and don't do the things that I should do? That's where that frustration rub starts to come in. You know, some may wrongly believe that since God's grace covers all sins, that it doesn't matter how we live in our life. However, this attitude undermines the seriousness of sin, and it rejects God's righteousness. Think about that for a moment. Yeah, oh, I'm a Christian. I can just live however I want to. You know, that's like your child saying, well, you know what? Yeah, hey, my dad and mom got money. I'll just do whatever I want to do. What if that was your child? Would you want them to do whatever they wanted to do? No. You might need to apply the Board of Education to the seat of the learning some for them to understand that. And oh, guess what? God will do that as well. Sometimes God has to use an attention getter in our hearts and in our lives. You see, Paul is making it very clear that grace is not an excuse to continue to sin. I want you to get that. In Paul's letter, what he is telling the Romans and what we are learning today is simply this. And may it be very, very clear that God's grace is not an excuse to continue to sin because he is a loving and forgiving God. That's not an excuse. In fact, grace should empower us to live a life that is pleasing to God. That's what we need to use the power of that grace for. It is our responsibility to avoid sin and to live in obedience to God. We have some responsibility. We live in a society where nobody wants to take responsibility for anything, right? It's always someone else's fault. You know, you've heard me use this illustration 1,000 times. Well, you know, nobody ever comes in, sits down, says, preacher, look, man, my mama was great. My daddy was great. My brothers and sisters were wonderful. I'm just the one, you know, who's messed up in the head. Nobody comes in and says that. You know, and when something breaks down or whatever and it's your responsibility, what happens is often we try to find a way to shift blame because we're all perfect, aren't we? None of us ever make mistakes. I always admire the person who can sit back and say, you know what? That was my bad. That was my fault. I was the one that caused this. It's my bad, but if you give me a chance, I'll try to see if I can make it right or fix it. Have you ever noticed that when somebody, maybe you've been to that person and you're like, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them exactly how I feel about what they did. I know what they did and everything else. And all of a sudden you storm in there with your chest puffed up and you sit there and say, look, I'm going to tell you something. I know exactly what you did. I know how you did it. I know when you did it and everything else. And they're like, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. All of a sudden people don't know what to do. They're like, see, when you own it, when you own your mistakes, what can anybody use against you? Now, they'll keep on rambling on. You're like, look, I already told you. Yeah, it's my fault, and I did it. You don't need to continue to belabor the point. I get it. I own it. It's my fault. It's my responsibility. See, the part of the problem is when it comes down to sin, we won't own it. It's somebody else's fault. How's God going to forgive you of something that you claim you didn't do? Or it was because of somebody else. Listen, we got to get to the point where we own our slice of the pie when it comes down to the sin. And here's the really interesting part. Okay, everybody get this. Here comes a big biblical concept y'all probably never heard. God already knows. He knew before you did it. He knew while you were doing it. He knows after the fact. So don't go to him with some flimsy excuse, because if you're a believer, not only does he know, he was there. He knows what you did. Quit making excuses. Be the person that stands up and says, yep, that was me. Yep, I'm the one that tore that up. I'm the one that messed it up. See, as believers, we should take sin seriously, and we should strive to live a life that reflects God's righteousness, not only to us, but to those that are around us. We should not use grace as a license to sin, but rather to see it as a gift that empowers us to overcome that sin. Sometimes the best thing you can do is walk away. Sometimes the best thing you can do is run away. By the way, that's okay. The Word of God says this. It says that we're supposed to flee evil. He didn't say we're supposed to engage it. He said, don't mess with it. Flee evil. Get away from it. If you see it coming, you know, don't start, you know, flexing and working out. Go the other way. That's the easiest way to avoid it. I still remember back in my days of growing up, I told somebody, I said, I will never be killed in a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can guarantee you that. And somebody said, well, you don't know. How can you guarantee that? I said, well, you know what? If you're never in a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're never going to get killed in a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. Boom! Concept there. Set boundaries, set barriers. And what should those boundaries and barriers be? The Word of God, not just you. Use it. Stay away from the places that you should stay away from. Think about it. How are believers dead to sin? See, Paul uses a metaphor of death to describe the believer's relationship with sin. And this death is not a physical death, but rather a spiritual death to power and control of sin. When you think about it. Now, for the sake of time, he goes on and he starts talking about baptism. And we've said this a bunch of times. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is a picture. It is an act of obedience of a believer following their acceptance of Christ. But it is a powerful, powerful illustration. And I want you to think about it for a moment. We've all seen a baptism before. And if you sit back and say, this is the first time I've ever been in church before in my life. Well, you saw Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Or you've seen him on TV. You've seen a baptism. You know how a true baptism by immersion should go. You see the person and they're standing in the water. The first thing that they're asked is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? And there is the verbal admission of that. Yes, I have. Now, I'm a quick, simple guy. It's in obedience to the great command of our Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then they go into the water. Y'all tracking with me? And then they come up out of the water. But you realize there's a lot of symbolism there. Sometimes, maybe you grew up with one of the older pastors who would say something in the midst of the baptism when they would say something like this. You know, buried to sin, raised in the likeness of his image. Y'all ever heard that? So what is that symbolic of? It's that watery grave. Some of the older preachers probably talked about the watery grave. So it's symbolic of you dying to sin and it being buried. But then see what happened to Jesus on the third day after he was buried. He resurrected to what is often spoken of during a baptism as resurrected to the newness of life. It's a great picture. It's a public testimony. That's what it is. Listen, it does not equal salvation, but it is a prominent picture. That is your public profession. I don't think they had altar calls back in Paul's day. I don't think Paul would call the music minister up, and I don't think that the organ and the piano played and they had an altar call here. So the public profession of somebody who was receiving Jesus Christ was their baptism. Man, I love, one of my favorite Bible stories is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Y'all remember that one? I mean, let's think about it. I always say this. Think about it for just a minute. The Lord says to Philip, you need to go down to the road. Wait, what? Okay. And then he goes down there and he sees this eunuch riding back from worship, reading a passage in Isaiah, and Philip could hear this. And I can imagine what the Lord said. There he is. Go get him. Philip didn't sit back and go, well, but man, the dude's on a chariot. He's riding by. You get this picture in your mind. The Lord said, I don't care. Go get him. Philip's running beside the chariot. Hey, man, what you reading there? Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch's like, how can I unless somebody explain it to me? So then the eunuch says, oh, hold up a minute. Come on up here. Tell me what this says. So I can imagine they're having a nice casual ride. Philip begins to share the gospel message with him and interpret what the scriptures had said. And he gets to the part where he's talking about baptism as the outward expression of the inward change. Remember what I said a minute ago about God's timing? It's always perfect. So all of a sudden, guess what's around? Water. The eunuch says, well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized now? And Philip probably said, well, I just don't have any swimming trunks available or a proper shirt or anything. Think about it. How many excuses can we come up with along the way? You know what Philip says? Water? Baptism? Nothing. Let's get her done. So he baptizes him right there, and then God sends Philip on another journey. He translates him somewhere else. That's a pretty cool story, isn't it? By the way, the same God that did all that's the same God you and I serve. He is still powerful. He's still a miracle worker. He has still gone on before us, and we need not take advantage of the grace of God, but yet understand the importance of it. There are so many other things that I could share about these few verses. But this passage teaches us that as believers, We are no longer slaves to sin. You don't have to be a slave to sin. When Satan rears his ugly head, you get to tell him, you don't own it. You're not the boss of me. Not anymore. And you need to hit the bricks. Through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we have been set free from the power of sin, and we should not use grace as a license to sin, but to live in obedience to God. Our baptism symbolizes our identification with Christ and his death and his resurrection. Let us remember our new identity in Christ and live our lives in a way that it reflects that. Yeah, I think that's one of the most frustrating things that I see as a pastor is when somebody who is a believer is taking advantage of the grace of God. Not only is that something that breaks my heart, sometimes it makes me mad, but it's also very, very dangerous. Because there comes a point in time, God's only going to warn you so many times. He's like, hey, that's not the way this works. That is not the way this should happen. Before long, God will step in. Today, for a moment, I want you to reflect on your own baptism. I want you to reflect on what that baptism symbolizes. Now, I know some of y'all just said, well, I haven't really been baptized. Well, what are you waiting on? Some of you are sitting back trying to make that excuse. Well, it's not my fault, preacher. What happened was, you know, when I was younger, I thought I accepted Jesus, and they just shotgunned me through baptism and that should work, shouldn't it? No, it shouldn't. Let me tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart that you need to be baptized following your salvation. Were you baptized after you received Christ? I can't tell you the plethora of people who sit back and say, well, you know, I thought I got saved when I was at this age, but it wasn't until later on. And I'll usually ask them, say, well, did you follow in baptism? Well, no. They look at it as like baptism's like a children's program or something. No, it's not. It's not. Oh, see, some of y'all are squirming now. Some of y'all are going, preacher, you're meddling. You should have ended a little while ago. No, I'm not meddling. The Holy Spirit is telling you what you should be doing. Because I can tell you this, it don't take long to fill the pool up. And here's the thing. We're going to celebrate with you. It's not one of them situations where somebody's going to be going, I can't believe that. I thought they got baptized. Listen, your testimony will be even stronger. I have shared within this church a man who had thought he had walked with the Lord for years, man who was a deacon in the church and everything else, that we had a conversation, and he wound up accepting Christ in the lobby of a show that we went to, and then the next day was Sunday, and he couldn't wait to make his public profession and follow in baptism. Most people are sitting back going, I've never seen a deacon get saved before. Never seen a deacon get baptized before, but let me tell you, that made an incredible testimony for him. It affected a lot of people. It let them know it's okay for me to be where I am and understand where I am so that I can be where I need to be. Now, here's my thing. I know for a fact that that's somebody out here today. And y'all are like, well, I don't know. Well, preacher, I would respond to you, but you're always late, and we need to get to lunch. If it was a more convenient time, or if you would start the invitation a little bit earlier, because, see, I don't want to hold everybody else up. We don't need to be singing 97 verses of Just As I Am. You're right, we don't. You need to get your tail on down as soon as the first note plays. But I'm going to make your day. As you reflect on your own baptism, and as you reflect on what it symbolizes, if you hadn't been baptized, consider taking this step of obedience to publicly declare Jesus. Remember, that's not salvation, but it's your public declaration of Jesus. And then we need to strive to live and our new identity in Christ and resist sin through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the only way we really can. And remember that you are no longer a slave to sin, but you're free in Christ. Guess what? I don't want to hold anybody up. So it is time for that invitation that we talked about. And I've said it a bunch of times, and I'm going to say it again. It is not my invitation. It is the Lord's invitation in your heart to what He has called you to do this very day. But it's your choice. You will either go out of here having ignored what the Holy Spirit put on your heart. You will take advantage of the grace of God. Or you're going to act on it. Actions speak far louder than words. So, what will your actions reveal? You know, part of the reason I love that story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch with baptism is because, you know, when we were on vacation this year, the Lord put that in the hearts of some folks. There was a huge baptistry about 50 yards from where we were staying called the Atlantic Ocean. And here was water. What doth hinder us? Well, rough surf tried, but boy, I'll tell you one thing, it was a great, great moment. So where are you? Are you going to sit back and hide? Is pride going to keep you from being everything God wants you to be? Whether it's how you follow Him, whether it's the fact that you've been taking advantage of God's grace and it's time to stop, whether it's following Him in believers' baptism because you know you need to. Listen, I'm not telling you. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your mind right now. I am just a spokesman for the Father, but I will tell you the Spirit knows exactly what's going on. And it's Him. You know, don't throw stones at the messenger. But why don't you just listen to what the Lord has to say? Respond to Him today. Brad, you guys, come on up. We're going to start our time of invitation. And remember, there's nothing magical about this. This is just a time to give you an opportunity to heed what God has called you to do. If you need to trust Christ, if you've never done that, then I'm going to urge you. Come down here, let me pray with you. By the way, if you're watching online and you need Christ, you can't come down here and pray with me, but I'm going to tell you right now, you stop what you're doing and you simply pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and save my soul. Help me live for You in Jesus' name. And I will promise you that he heard that prayer, but then I'm going to encourage you to give me a call here at the church and let's talk a little bit more. Let us help you follow Him. Maybe you need to learn how to follow Him. It's a great, great ride, man. It's a lot of fun. Discipleship's really fun if you do it the right way. It should be. Folks, we're not here that long. Let's do the best while we are here. Maybe God's called. So maybe there's something else that God's called you to do. Maybe He's called you to repentance. Whatever it may be, whatever He's put on your heart, right now is the time that you respond to Him. If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. Would you join me as we stand to sing our invitation hymn, number 312, Softly and Tenderly, as Brad leads us.
See all the
your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, I'm going to simply ask you this. What's God speaking to your heart?
The moments are passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death beds are coming for you and for me.
You continue to pray for each other. You know that the Spirit is in this place, and you know that the Spirit has spoken to each and every one of us in some way. And prayerfully, we have acknowledged that to Him. I love that fact. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. What will you do with His calling? Now is the time. As you pray for one another, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, it's so good to be in your presence. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful for provision you have provided for us in so many ways. Lord, you've even provided for us in ways that we don't even know about. So Lord, I ask right now that you truly would help us be faithful as we return to you the tithe and the offering, Lord, I ask that each and every person might have an opportunity to be blessed because of their obedience to you in their giving. Lord, we also pray that you would help us as a church to be a good steward of what it is that you have entrusted us to be stewards over. Lord, may many, many people come to know Jesus because of our giving. We won't know on this side of glory, but Lord, I pray that you will just do some incredible things as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just give you a couple things, and then we'll, like I say, we'll get you out of here. We tried to cut the three pages down to just a little bit less than two, but please look at your bulletin, a lot of things that are going on. I do want to mention our birthdays that we have this week. Today, Debbie McDonald and Richard Brackett, right? Birthdays, 21, right? 21. I tell you, if you get a chance, give them a hug, you embarrass them, you know, just do all kinds of good stuff. Let them know how much we love them. But Debbie McDonald and Richard Brackett have birthdays today. Tomorrow, Mark Vernon will have a birthday, getting another trip around the sun. And then this coming Saturday, Joanne Willard will celebrate her birthday. So keep all these folks in your prayers. You get a chance, just let them know how much they mean to you along the way. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we got going on for today. There is a finance team meeting in room 116 right after the service. Is that correct? Okay. Right after service today in 116. If y'all want to, where are our finance people? If y'all want to go ahead and go, y'all can go ahead and head on over to 116. I'll try to get you out as quickly as possible. Just follow Sandra over there. She'll get you there. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock p.m., our Bible study with Pastor David. If you come in the front doors, you'll turn left and go down the hall that way. As a reminder, there's no choir or band practice until they'll resume next Sunday, right, the 18th. Choir, I think I've got it both. Choir and band will resume next Sunday. If that's the choir, we know is right. September the. Screen. 9:15. Okay, there. See that? That's when they return. Choir next week, then September 15th for the band. So. There we go. We'll get you. We get it in line. Ladies, don't forget you have a breakfast on the 14th at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue at 9 a.m. And then also the ladies' connections monthly meeting is at 6 o'clock p.m. on September the 4th in room 116 next door. And room 116 is that conference room right across from the kitchen. Also, keep Amy and Christian in your prayers. Don't forget, they are going to be married, and everybody is invited to that. It's in Martinsville. There's information out there. I think the RSVP time has passed, but you could talk to Jim and see if that would be a possibility for to it. Yeah, last Sunday was the deadline as far as being able to come, but you can look at the information. If you have any other questions, you can probably talk to Jim or Terry or Nancy. If you talk to Nancy, she'll probably point you to Jim. So just eliminate that step. Also, just as a reminder, October the 6th, there is going to be what's called a D-Life Boot Camp that we are helping sponsor through the Piedmont Association. On October the 6th, us and Awaken will have a combined service, and the author of the D-Life material, which is a guy named Bill Wilkes, will actually be preaching. This is being put out all across the Piedmont Association, and then that evening, there from 4 to 7:30, there will be like a training with Bill Wilkes and his wife, Rondi. There is a registration for that. I'm not sure about the $15, maybe 10, but that's if you can't afford the 10 bucks, don't let that stop you from coming. This is just to help offset the cost of, you'll have a meal, you will have materials, you'll get a lot of things for that. I think we're saying $10 for that. Then August 11th, which is today, from 5 to 8 over in the gym, Awaken is doing the presentation of Jesus in Your Living Room. They're having a dinner at 5:30 p.m. With session one presentation, then there'll be a dessert intermission, then session two. There is a requested donation for that because to help cover the cost of the meal, suggested donation is $5. If you want to go to that, please, there's a registration on our Facebook page for that, so that way they'll have the account for how much food they need to fix. And if you have trouble registering and you want to go, let us know. We'll get you registered, so we'll get that taken care of. Also, September is Piedmont Baptist Association Month. We used to call that the Shubal Stearns offering, but we're actually going to be taking donations for that. Our association does a lot of work. A lot of it you see, a lot of it you don't see. August 25th through September the 29th, we will be taking a specialized offering for that. And I'll let David tell you a little bit more about how we want to do that. Is that just designated, just if they put it in an envelope and mark it PBA, which is Piedmont Baptist Association, that way we will know that that offering goes there. So if the Lord's leading you to give in that regard, just on your envelope, just put PBA, which means Piedmont Baptist Association, and we'll make sure it goes to them. Don't forget, mark your calendar, September the 8th. The church picnic is at Triad Park at 1 o'clock p.m. We'll give you more information as we get a little closer on that, but hold that place marker. 1 o'clock on September the 8th at Triad Park for our church picnic. And then Awana's going to be starting back up on September the 15th from 5:30 to 7 o'clock. We're more than grateful to take anybody who wants to be helpers along the way. You can see either Jana or Jim McDonald. Jimmy's right over there. And there's a registration form on our website if you want to go ahead and get the children pre-registered. Finally, the 2024 Women's Retreat, which is October the 10th through the 13th in Ocean Isle. Last we knew, there were still two slots. Is that three and possibly four? It happens. It seems to happen all the time. But at any rate, you can see Marcia. That is Marcia. Or you can see Mari Kelly, which is... She went to the finance meeting. Run her down over there. Once again, we appreciate all that folks do. I'm grateful. A lot of you know, you may or may not know, North Carolina Baptist Home Mission did set up a what they call a DROC, a Disaster Recovery Operations Center in Lumberton. And your very own Jim McDonald actually spent a whole day delivering, going to pick up Kitchen 4 and delivering that to the D-Rock in Lumberton. We appreciate that. I know that Steve and Kirk are chomping at the bit. I know that sounds weird. We just want to serve the Lord. Even though it's a disaster, you want to go, but you don't, because that means that there's a disaster if you wind up having to go. But like I say, we also have Kirk and Steve Kelly on standby in chaplaincy, maintenance. There's all kinds of other things. But I think we dodged a bullet on this one. We didn't have to take the big stuff down there. But I appreciate all that you guys do. We'll try to continue to keep you posted as things happen. Pastor David, if you would, come up and let us know anything that I may have forgotten or misspoke or misstated or what have you, and then see us off in a word prayer.
Along with offerings for the association, September is also the month that the State Baptist Convention has set aside for us to give offerings to. The State Baptist Convention, the disaster recovery and things like that, recovered all under that. Most of the mission trips that we have taken over the years have been sponsored by the State Baptist Convention. So a lot to pray about for the month of September. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please, before we go. Our Father, we just thank you so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life. God, in light of a grateful heart, help us to order our lives so that we show our love and appreciation to you for what you've done, and not try to find the shortcut out and do the things we want to do, but live our lives so others will know we know you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.